Knock me out.
Let's just kick off this joint right away with... Yes, ladies and gentlemen, today...
It's Christmas in... Christmas in June.
We got our first Christmas CD in today. People don't know this.
Wow, that's right.
Right? This happens all the time. Right around July 4th, the first holiday music starts drifting.
Well, by August, the Christmas decorations will be up for sale in all the department stores, I'm sure. So,
this is Mark O'Connor, his Appalachian Christmas record, and this is a Christmas tree for you all.
Oh. Is it cooling everybody down in all the hot spots in America?
I just don't know what they're thinking when they send us things like this. But there we go. Thought we'd kick off with that. That's all I'm going to play of Mr. Mark O'Connor, talented musician, Christmas record there.
Feel like we should rock out now. Do you have anything?
No, actually, I don't want to rock out. I have something else. Oh, I'm just filled with stuff today. I'm glad you've given me the cable so I can plug it into my computer.
I'm filled with stuff today.
Look, it's been 8 years since we've heard an album by Gillian Welch, and now we have one. The record's called The Harrow and the Harvest. We have a first listen for it. This tune I want to play is the opening cut. It's called Scarlet Town. Brilliant, brilliant record.
Let's go for it.
Thank you.
It's so good to hear them, Dave Rawlings and Gillian Welch.
She's got one of the most distinctive and strongest voices in bluegrass and folk music today, I think. You know, in another 20 years, we'll regard her as one of the all-time greats. I still reach for Revival, the first CD, the first record that she put out.
I love Time the Revelator, that too. And Soul Journey, was that the last one? Was that the one that came out 8 years ago?
Yeah, 2003.
I love this cover art for this. Feel this. It's
like almost embossed leather.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very thick.
It's on a really
paper.
Thick card.
And it's a beautiful picture, almost medieval creations of Dave Rawlings and Gillian Welch. The Harrow and the Harvest, you can hear the whole thing online, our first listen series at nprmusic.org.
So this past weekend was the Solid Sound Festival in North Adams, Massachusetts. This is the music festival that Wilco puts on, curates, and they headline each year. At this past one, they debuted this new 7-inch vinyl that they released while they were there, and anyone who attended could get a copy of it, of a new song called I Might. And the B-side to the 7-inch is I Love My Label.
That's a Nick Lowe
song.
Yeah,
a cover of the Nick Lowe song, I Love My Label, which is an appropriate one to include because Wilco recently started its own label, DBPM, which maybe is Double Beats Per Minute. I'm not sure. It's their,
BPM,
it's their new record.
So, yeah, that's right.
And it's due out sometime in September. But we just got this cut, I Might, from the upcoming record called The Whole Love, and I want to play it for you now.
Great.
So high.
nice energy. It's a nice complement of a couple different periods and music coming together there.
Yeah, I can't tell where they're heading with this. There's things in there that make me think we're going to have a nice poppy, upbeat record. There's sort of mystery in the way that fuzzy guitar works and, and sort of stops and starts and is abrasive.
One of my all-time favorite bands, I wasn't as hot on the last couple records as some of their earlier stuff, but I think this one's really promising. Also, haven't been able to confirm an exact release date for the record, but it's due out sometime in the fall, possibly in September. And if you weren't at the Solid Sound Festival in Massachusetts this past weekend and you didn't get the 7-inch vinyl, they're going to release it to everybody on July 19th.
What should I do next? I've got a couple of things I could do. You wouldn't know because you don't even know what I have.
I don't.
It's like holding a deck of cards doing the show with you, you know? Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I like holding them close to my vest and I like having a bunch of choices. Let's go with something we have no idea about.
All right, surprise me.
All right, I'm surprised. Oh, no, surprise you. So Carlos Forster, his name I didn't know. He was at the helm of a band called Four Stars for a while, F-O-R. Mm-hmm. He's an old buddy of M. Ward's, and they went to college together, and they used to write songs together, and they used to do things. They get camping and hiking and all sorts of stuff together. And Carlos gave up on music for a while. He went into psychology and decided to make a record and make the record with M. Ward. So when they started doing songs, some of these are maybe 20-year-old songs, M. Ward said, remember the song Campfire Songs we did? We have to do that. So I'm going to play this on one side of your speakers. If you're wearing headphones, you'll hear it in one ear is M. Ward. On the other side is Carlos. Great. New discovery for today.
What's it called?
Campfire Songs is the name of the song. The album's called Family Trees. Comes out in the middle of July.
You getting tired of these knowing situations? You have a song to sing, political inspiration. Every time you lose your hat, head on back to campfire songs. Cause all you got when you're in debt is memories and campfire songs. All the time around the fire, all the warmth within the fire. Don't believe in magazines, coke machines, nor slot machines. Just believe that when you die, better know your campfire song. Cause God ain't gonna understand why you don't know your campfire song. Tens of thousands pierce the clouds and wrap the shrouds and put around your mouth. Let it ring. Thank you.
I think that's as sweet as
can
be.
That was really sweet. Loved it. Very lovely. Loved the panning, the guitars and the harmonies together. It was a very sweet song.
Rachel Blumberg from, she used to be the drummer for the Decemberists till 2005 or so, played on that song. She's also played with M. Ward in her backing band. I think when we did a live concert of M. Ward, she was a drummer. She also plays with Jonathan Richman, who's on this record. So. One of the stories I heard about the sessions with Jonathan Richman was that after 6 o'clock, and he only played on one song, but after 6 o'clock, he wouldn't speak. So in order to communicate with him, he had to write in a pen and paper.
I love Jonathan
Richman. Yes, I do too.
Sounded like it was family. Recorded in a living room or something with everyone just sitting around.
He's really got the, M. Ward does, and not to take anything from Carlos, I don't know his work well enough to know what part of the production he put in this, so it's not fair to say it's all M. Ward, but M. Ward just has a way with sound that I'm sure he had a nice role in making the sound of this record, and I've listened to 2/3 of it now. It's a growing favorite in just one day.
The song is called Campfire Songs.
Yeah.
Did you went to camp growing up, didn't you?
I was a counselor, mm-hmm. so I didn't do it little, but I did it, older. And campfire songs were a big part of the summer.
I was going to ask you if you have summer music memories, because we've put this blog post up asking people to share their favorite summer music memory.
And you can literally tell us, too.
Yes. So go to our SoundCloud page. It's soundcloud.com/allsongsconsidered. And you can record yourself on your computer and upload your story to our SoundCloud page, and we will use it to do a new show in the next week or so about summer music memories. And if your story ends up being included, we'll play your song and share your story with everybody.
Oh, sorry. I'm not laughing at you. I was just thinking of when I was a camp counselor, the one thing that I did was I brought like almost all of my albums up to camp. That's about all I packed. And I started a music appreciation class for my 7-year-olds.
That's awesome. They were 7 years old.
They were 5 through 7. The first time I ever took care of any kid in my life, they were kids away from home for 2 months.
Wow.
And they were under my charge, and I'd never take care of a child in my life.
What were they thinking? Well, all right, so when we do the show, you might have to play a song that you played for the kids when they were 7.
What do you got?
Well, listening to that cut, I thought you can really hear Paul McCartney and, you know, the influences of his guitar playing, his songwriting, his sense of melody, his harmonies, everything that he's given us over the decades to music. You could hear that. And the first Paul McCartney solo album has been reissued. It's been remastered. It just came out along with some bonus track. It's called McCartney. Normally, when I hear a remastered record that's been around a while, I have to admit, I don't always have the ear for it. I don't always hear the differences. This record, when I put it on, 2 seconds into the first cut, I actually said aloud, wow, it sounds way better. It sounds drastically better. And I was going to play Maybe I'm Amazed because that's just an incredible song, but a lot of people know that one. Let's play the song Every Night. It's not as well known, and it actually
sounds a little like the
one we just heard. Yeah. So this is Paul McCartney, Every Night, from the remastered album McCartney.
And he's doing everything on this.
He does. Plays all the instruments, sings everything.
Every night I just want to go out, get out of my head. Every day I don't want to get up, get out of my bed. Every night I want to lay out, and every day I want to do. But tonight I just want to stay in and be with you. And be with you. twisting my mind. Every morning brings a new day, and every night that day is through. But tonight I just wanna stay in and be with you, and be with you.
Extended ending there, just a tiny, tiny bit.
Isn't that amazing? You've listened to it that many times that you can notice something like that.
Yeah.
I've noticed that too in listening to these remastered versions of these songs, and they're just fatter, richer, warmer. The clarity is amazing on these newly remastered versions.
And you have to think that as a model for home recording, this is it. You know, this
oh,
is
yeah.
like
he had a little four-track recorder. And this was the first solo record he put out after leaving the Beatles. I think he put it out about a week after he said, "I'm leaving the Beatles." A week later, he drops this record, and sort of a love letter to his first wife, Linda.
To have reached where he reached, and he didn't even hit 30 yet. It's just
yeah.
remarkable.
Yeah. What had you done by the time you were 28?
I did a paper in school once. Mm. Yeah, I didn't like
yeah.
that much.
You worked in a record
yeah.
store.
I worked
in,
yeah.
Selling his
records. Hey, speaking of a sense of humor, the Fountains of Wayne, who I think have the Beatle pop in them for sure, and they have a new record, their fifth album's coming out. First one in like 4 years, coming out on August 2nd. Sky Full of Holes is the name of the record. I love their stories. I love their storytelling. Adam Schlesinger is, I asked about this first song that we're going to play, the very opening cut on the record, and to see if there was how much truth there was in the story, and he basically said that it's a composite of lots of characters and people he knows. So I'd love to play a cut off of it.
Sure.
And to continue our summer theme, this song is called The Summer Place from Sky Full of Holes, Fountains of Wayne.
To play at 40, she's so bored, she
thinks about it, then decides to pay. And still she can't help feeling those good old days don't seem so far away. Was it just yesterday she took a handful of mushrooms that she got from a surfer? She spent the night in a hospital room so the doctors could observe her. Drop on by at the summer place. The injuries fade, but the memories last a lifetime. A lifetime. A lifetime. A lifetime.
Unmistakable, right? Oh, yeah.
His voice in particular. It's something about their songs and his voice, I hear it, and it doesn't matter what he's saying. I just start smiling and feel like I'm fighting laughing through the whole thing. They have such a great energy and sense of humor.
And we're talking about Adam Schlesinger and band to come and do a tiny desk.
Oh, that'd be great.
And that'd be fun.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll happen in August. And the record comes out, Skyfall Holes comes out August 2nd. Maybe we'll have a first listen.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That'd be nice.
I'm going to take us out on a band that's been compared to Fountains of Wayne and certainly the Beatles.
Seriously?
Yes, it's a group called Mini Mansions. And this is a band that I discovered at South by Southwest last year and played them on the show. I played a song called Magic Marker.
I remember this.
Which is a super cool song. What an amazing show they put on. It was in this tiny little bar. My ears were ringing for about 3 hours afterwards. It was so loud but so good. Afterwards, I came up and said, you guys have to let me buy you a beer or something because, you know, I didn't think they're not getting anything to play this show. This is a band from Los Angeles, Mini Mansions. It's got Michael Schumann, who's the bassist for Queens of the Stone Age. But in this group, he plays drums and keys. The group also includes Zach Dawes and Tyler Parkford. Very Beatly chord progressions and harmonies, unmistakable. You'll hear it in this song. This cut is called Crime of the Season, and it's from the group's self-titled CD, Mini Mansions.
Very summery show, huh?
Yeah, and so we'll do another summery show very soon, hopefully with listener stories.
Yes. Give us your stories. Small recordings, little stories. Tell us about your favorite summer memories.
SoundCloud.com/AllSongsConsidered.
I'm Bob Boylan, along with Robin Hilton for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered. My battery says I'm now running on reserve power, so I guess it's over.
No, we can still play this.
Cut to the moment.
gotta get it.